You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Let's pray together. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. So this is the Great Commission Week, and I'm sure we're all very familiar with the Scripture. And I'll tell you who wasn't familiar with the Scripture when they first heard it was the disciples. With their own eyes, the disciples saw Jesus crucified. And then with their own eyes, they saw that he was miraculously raised from the dead. And Jesus spent time with them after the resurrection and spoke of many things concerning the kingdom. And just before he ascended to heaven, he said these words: "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." The expectation was that the disciples, when the Holy Spirit came on them, they would immediately go and do what the Lord said. The expectation was that they would receive power and they would be his witnesses. They would want to be with God and in his presence be filled with the Holy Spirit, giving effective power. We must be the gospel witnesses to the world as well. A relationship with God must precede our service and our works for God. A relationship with God must precede our work for him. Our being with God must precede our doing for God. This was fulfilled just a short time later when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost and filled the disciples with power, and they immediately began to share the witness of the gospel. And they started right where they were, right there in Jerusalem, right there in Judea. And in the same way, as you'll find out this week through the Great Commission Congress Week, the same expectations are of us. We need to serve God right where we are, right now. The only way our mission can be completed, though, is if there is a full commitment and a full surrender to God. If you have your Bibles, please open them to Mark chapter 14. The Bible's the sword of the Spirit. And if you have your electronic Bibles, those are your lightsabers. So please get those out now as well, if you'd like. But turn to Mark 14. And there's this beautiful little story about Jesus gathering together during Holy Week. And he said some very profound things that are very important for you and me today. Starting at verse 3. "Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume over Jesus' head. Now some of those at the table were indignant. 'Why waste such expensive perfume?' they asked. 'It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor.' So they scolded her harshly. Jesus replied, 'Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me?'" Let's look a little closely there. Mary, we know it's Mary because of the other gospel accounts. Mary broke the vial, it says, and poured the perfume over the head of Jesus. Now, because she broke the vial, a couple things happened here. The first thing that happened is that she yielded control of the flow of the perfume. She couldn't pour it here or pour it there, wherever she chose to. She couldn't decide to dab a little there or dab a little there. No, the perfume flowed because she broke the jar. The second thing was she had to give it all. Can't take anything back. Nothing to put it back into. She had to give it all. And the third thing is she couldn't take anything back. She couldn't take anything back. Does that sound familiar? It was just a few days later when Jesus himself was broken and killed on the cross. Broken for the world. Broken and poured out. Do you remember the words to that song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross? I think it's the second verse. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. When Jesus was broken on the cross, he had to yield his life to the flow of the Holy Spirit because his life drained out of him. He gave it all for us, and he could not take anything back until that third day when he rose again and was victorious. Friends, full commitment means the very same for you and me. If we're really serious about our life in Christ, it requires a full commitment. We need to be broken as well, just like that alabaster jar. When we commit our lives to Christ, we yield the flow of the compelling Holy Spirit in our life. Lord, have your way in me, as you will. And when we pour our lives out for Christ, we must give it all. We can't just be halfway in this walk. We've got to give it all. And finally, we can't take it back. A fully committed life in Christ won't go back because they live for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's full commitment on our part. That's what the Lord requires. But there was more to the story. Look back at your scriptures with me. If we have a full commitment, we also need full surrender. Picking up again in Mark chapter 14, some of those at the table were indignant. Why waste such expensive perfume, they asked. It could have been sold for a year's wages and money given to the poor. So they scolded her harshly, as I said. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could and anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed, as it is today." Jesus makes a point here to the scolding disciples that Mary had done a good thing. She will always be remembered for what she had done. And he says, the poor you'll always have with me. You can do good to them, the poor, whenever you want to, but I am here right now. So there are a few spiritual truths right there that I want to remind us. A fully surrendered life means Jesus doesn't want our sacrifice as much as he wants us, our surrender. Can I say that again? Jesus doesn't want our sacrifice as much as he wants us, our surrender to him. We're quick to sacrifice time, ambition, talents, and resources. Those are wonderful things to offer up to Jesus, but what he wants most is us. Jesus says, a relationship with me and worship of me precedes service to others. Remember what Jesus said about the greatest commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second one is, what is it? Love your neighbor as yourself. First we love God and are committed to him, and then we love others and serve them. You've noticed I have my Salvation Army uniform on today. I don't always wear it, but today I thought it'd be important to wear. In the Salvation Army, we wear a uniform because this is a sacrament to us. A sacrament, you know, an outward sign of an inward and spiritual grace. When you see someone in the Salvation Army uniform, it accentuates their best abilities. And those are availability and accessibility. You can guarantee that someone in a Salvation Army uniform has a relationship with Jesus, and they are there to serve. Our motto echoes that: heart to God, hand to man. And these S's on our it says, these mean saved to serve. Now, I got to admit, I have been approached many times at a Sheraton to carry some of these bags, thinking I'm a bellhop. And I've gotten some good tips, but saved to serve. And my question is, why don't you wear a uniform? Well, you know, you kind of do. I see some. I see crosses around the necks. I see Christian t-shirts. I see tattoos. We should be able to be approachable because the people who need to hear need to know where to go. But we need to have it first on the inside before we can share it to others. And the last thing Jesus says in this passage, I think, is very critical for us to understand. And he says this: if you are truly my disciples, you will always be with the poor. He said, the poor you will always have with you. Well, why would that be? Because if you are truly my disciples, you will always be with the poor. That needs to be part of your mission. He told his disciples, and he tells us today, it is up to us to comfort the poor in the spirit. We must serve the physically and socially poor. We need to uplift the brokenhearted and the downtrodden. We need to give mercy to the merciless. We need to calm the troubled soul. We need to look for the last and the least and the lost so that they could know of Christ as well. If you are my disciples, you will always be with the poor. Only with full surrender and full commitment can we be in this life that Christ requires. Judea is where we are right now. So let's get started. What's stopping us? What is stopping us from changing the world where we are? What is it about our life that might prevent us from doing something great for God? We first need to be fully committed and then fully surrendered to his mission. It says in Ephesians 6:11 that we need to put on all of God's armor so that we'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. I remember reading that and think, well, what are those strategies? There's a story told that one day Satan gathered all his henchmen together for a strategy meeting. He got them together to figure out how to defeat Christ and defeat the church. He said to these demons, "In the great battle for souls, we're losing. We must come up with a way to win. Now, leave me, take some time, and come back with a plan on how we can defeat Jesus and his church." So they all went their own way and they began to scheme. One at a time, these demons, as they came back, they began to report back to Satan. And the first return was lust. He said, "We'll bombard their eyes and mind with filthy songs and images that will make them want to turn away from God." And Satan shook his head, no, that's not good enough. And then greed and envy and jealousy all came together and said, "We have the perfect plan. We'll work together and cause so many fights over things, they'll forget who they're supposed to serve." And Satan said, "We've tried that before. Not good enough." And then one by one, all of the other henchmen returned. Hate, spite, gluttony, depression, anxiety all came and gave their plans, and they were all turned down. And Satan said, is there none of you that can give me a plan that will work? And a demon moved out of the shadows and said, you haven't heard my plan yet. And Satan said, well? And this demon said, my plan is to tell the people that the only way to life is to accept Christ as their Savior, to fully commit to him and tell others to follow him as well. It is Christ alone, and there could be no other way. And as you can imagine, upon hearing this, Satan exploded into a rage. What are you talking about? And the demon continued, don't you remember who I am? Don't you know my name? I'm procrastination. And I'll tell him to do it tomorrow or the next day. Friends, you know the way. You know what God's call is for your life. But have we allowed the demon of procrastination to kick it down the road a bit so we could live our life, so we could have fun? Friends, if you're not a follower of Christ, it's time to follow him. Today. Don't delay. Do you have a burden for the salvation of others? Here, there, or over there? Don't delay. You are the ones you've been waiting for. You are the ones that Jesus has been waiting for. Today's the day. Don't delay. I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads for a moment, and I want to pray for you. I'm going to ask you to do a brave thing today. Nobody look around. Perhaps today, the Lord's saying, it's time for you to step up. It's time for you to stop delaying. I'd like to pray for you today. And if God's speaking to you today, if you've been putting it off for so long, I just want you to stand up so I could see you and I could pray for you. Anybody here brave enough to do that? God bless you. Are there others? Be bold today. Don't let Satan and his henchmen win. Thank you. God bless you. Any others? Don't delay. Today is the day. Thank you, Lord. Father God, in Jesus' name, we claim you as Lord and Savior. We shout hallelujah from our hearts because you are the King of our lives. We come before you today, Lord, fully committed and fully surrendered. And Lord God, I just pray for those who are brave enough to stand here today and have decided that this is the day that they're going to do something for you. And Lord, I also pray for everyone who's in their seats who just might not have been brave enough to stand. That's okay, because you're speaking to them right now. And God, I just pray right now, Lord, that you move in their heart. Help them keep their eyes fixed on you. We love you so much, God, and we praise you this day. And we give you all glory. And we know that you are here and you speak to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. God bless you.